important ideas that our parsha speaks about is the Akedas Yitzchak. So when we're introduced to the whole Nisayon of the Akedah, God appears to Avraham Avinu Vayomer and he says, Kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak v'haleu sham leola alachad harim asher amar elecha. And Rashi says, why is it necessary to have such a wordy instruction? Kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak. Why don't you just get directly to the point? Why don't you be clear and say, I'd like you to take your son Yitzchak and bring him to the mountain, and I expect that you will offer him as an ola. So Rashi explains, as bincha, the first thing that God said to him is, I want you to take your son. Amar lo Avram, shnei banim yeshli. I have two children. Which one would you like me to take? Amar lo, God says to him, es yichidcha, the unique child. And Avram Avinu once again says, I have two yechidim. One of them is unique to his mother. One of them is unique to his father. Hagar is the mother of Yishmael. Sarah is the mother of Yitzchak. How do I know which one you mean? Which I think is fascinating as a parent that Avraham Avinu doesn't see that one of them is more unique than the other. Both of them are his children. And he gives both of them equal significance. And he says, I don't know what God means when he says, Es yechidcha. So God then narrows it down a little more. And he says, Asher ahavta, him who you love. Amar lo, Shneem ani ohev. I love both of them. I love my son Yishmael, and I love my son Yitzchak. I'm still not sure which child you refer to. Amar lo, finally God says to him, what I'm referring to is your beloved son Yitzchak. And he's the one who I expect you to bring to perform the Akedah. Says Rashi, lama lo gila lo metchila. Why wasn't God able to be direct and say immediately to Avraham Avinu, take your son Yitzchak to the mountain and offer him as an ola? Says Rashi, the reason why is shalola arvavo pisom v'tazuach daito ala v'titarev. Can you imagine the shock? Avraham Avinu would have been so frightened, so taken aback, if God immediately told him from the first moment of the conversation, I expect you to take Yitzchak and kill him. So God has to ease into it a little bit. And he says, we're going to have a little discussion, and slowly he's going to break him the news. And as he tells him the information, Avraham Avinu is able to process it in a way that a human being, if one can ever process such a thing, it would make it easier for him. That, says Rashi, is the reason why God decided to give over the instruction in such an unusual manner. There's a very important story in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara says that Rav Kahana, who was one of the Amoraim, got sick. And everybody wanted to know what happened to him, but he lived in a community that wasn't so close to where his friends were. So they sent Rav Yeshua Bereder of Edi to go check up on his status, to see what was doing with him. Amrulo, they said, Zil Badok Mai Dinei, go check what's doing with our friend Rav Kahana. Is everything okay? Is there anything we should be doing for him? Asa Ashkechei, so he goes and he travels to the home of Rav Kahana, he knocks on the door, he goes inside, and he sees that Nach Nafshe, he sees that this great friend Rav Kahana has passed away. And he sees that he's dead in the house. So Karla Levushe, obviously he rips his clothing, and he begins to cry because he lost a good friend. And then he puts it all aside and he comes back to the rest of the group of friends who had sent him and he doesn't say anything. Amar lahu, so they say to him, what happened? Did he die? Is he alive? Is everything okay? And he doesn't respond. Ana lo ka amina. He says, I will not respond to the question because motzei diba hu ksil. Somebody who shares negative information is a foolish person. Why would you go around sharing negative information? So he hints it to them, and he turns his clothing backwards, and he makes them figure it out on their own by not answering and avoiding the question. It finally came clear to everyone that obviously there was some devastating news, and he just didn't want to share it explicitly. So the Gemara has a similar story in Maseches Yuma, where we're told that Malach Gavriel, it's a strange Gemara that you can say that a malach sometimes acts a little foolish. I don't know what exactly that means. Malachim, generally, we assume, are given an instruction, they're given a job, and they come back after the job is done. They don't really have bechira, generally, we assume. But here the Gemara says that Gavriel was sent to punish the Jewish people at a time when the Churban took place, and God tells and instructs Gavriel that he should go down to Yerushalayim and throw a big ball of fire onto the city, and then he should destroy the entire city of Yerushalayim. Gavriel goes and does his job, he comes back up to heaven, and he says, Asisi shtuchusi, I did what I was supposed to do. And all the other malachim are looking at him, why would you tell us that? Eime shivin ala kalkala, motzi diba huksil, you don't share negative information, why would you tell us about the horrible job? Obviously, if God asked you to do the job and you went to do it, when you came back, obviously it means the job is done. There's no reason to share negative information. That, says the Gemara, is a very important principle, and so much so that were told by the story of the Meraglim as well. The Medrash says that the Meraglim were referred to as Ksilim, as people who were foolish. Ask the Medrash, really? You think these people were so foolish? Don't you know that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Bechar lanu anashim? Moshe Rabbeinu chooses very carefully who to use in this group of the Meraglim, and he takes from the leaders of the generation. Why would you call them fools? Well, says the Gemara, why would they come back and share all this negative information and devastate the Jewish people? Obviously, it means they didn't use their sensitivity. It obviously means they weren't careful about the way they spoke. And therefore, says the Medrash, we refer to them as Ksilim. So the Vilna Gaon has a very keen insight on the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. We have a Gemara where we're told that we're supposed to make different brachos on different occasions in life. So says the Gemara, Al Besuros Tovos. Let's say you have a person who's on business, and it happens to be his wife is 9 months pregnant, but he went on a business trip, she goes into emergency labor, she's not able to wait for him, she goes to the hospital on her own, and she calls him on the phone an hour later and says, I'd like you to know we had a healthy child. Well, what does he do now? Does he make a bracha? Obviously, he's excited. He's a little bit upset that he's not there to help his wife and to be part of the experience. But on the other hand, he's excited over the fact that he had a child. Says the Gemara, Al Besuros Tovos, when somebody tells you a positive anecdote about some aspect of your life, says the Gemara, you make a bracha hatova hametet. Al Shmuos Ro, says the Gemara, when you hear bad news, as we know, unfortunately, you make the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. So the Vilna Gaon points out that it's very strange. Why does the Gemara switch the terminology? When you hear about something positive, it says it's called a Besura Tova. When you hear about something negative, it's called a Shmua Ra'a. Why don't you say it's a Besura Ra'a? Sometimes I'm informed about good news, and sometimes I'm informed about negative news, says the Vilna Gaon. When there's positive news to be shared, obviously the first thing we do is we run to tell each other. This one had a baby, that one just bought a new house, people are happy, things are good. We share that besura with others. However, says the Vilna Gaon, could you imagine that somebody would ever share negative news? The only way you hear about bad things in life is it's a shmua, it's a rumor. Somebody told me, I heard, I'm not sure. I didn't really hear an official announcement, says the Vilna Gaon, because that's the way it's supposed to be. When negative things happen, we shouldn't be the first ones to run to share it like a besura, an announcement that has to be shared. We should be a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more careful with sharing such information. And if, unfortunately, at some point you hear about it, it's called just a shmua ra. It got around, the word got around, but no one deliberately wanted to share the information with me. Rashi writes in Psachim that the reason why we have to be careful about sharing negative information is because you have to give it over to people slowly and carefully in a way that they can ease into, in a way that they can handle. In fact, the Chidah takes it further and he writes in one of his Sfarim that perhaps the reason why you're not supposed to share negative information is because if somebody's going to be upset, they won't have the ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way they should. And therefore he says, V'ha'avon talibo, the person who shared the information is held responsible. So if I don't daven well because I'm so upset about the terrible loss that I just heard about right before Mincha, that's your problem for sharing it with me. You shouldn't have told me. An interesting perspective that he has. I did see a very beautiful insight by Rav Shimshon Pinkus. He has in a Sefer on Chumash his own perspective as to why it is that he feels it's not proper to share negative information. And he says the following. He says, as we know, the reason why man is considered to be advantageous over the other elements of creation is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person lenefesh chaya, vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. And Rashi and the Targum Unkelus say, what is the unique characteristic of a human being over all the animal kingdom? Rashi says that he has a ruach memalala, that we have the ability to communicate, that we have the ability to speak and to share thoughts and to share feelings. And therefore, says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, that is the advantage of humanity over all of the animal kingdom. A chacham in life, he says, shares divrei chachma. We all want to highlight this uniqueness that we have as people, and therefore he says it's only natural that human beings like to talk. It's not something bad, it's something that highlights our unique advantage that we have over the rest of creation. And therefore he says, a person who has chachma is always going to be busy using their mouth to share divrei chachma. What if a person is exil? What if a person doesn't have any insight to share with others? What if a person is not so knowledgeable and really doesn't have anything interesting or insightful that they can share with other people that they come across. Well, they also want to flex that muscle of speech. They also want to highlight their uniqueness as people and why they were created. Well, says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, that person will revert to gossiping, to circulating information that's negative, because that's the only way they're going to be able to highlight the fact that they know how to speak, because they have nothing else to say. And therefore, he says, Motzi Diba Huksil, if the only thing that you can find yourself sharing with others is negative information, he says, doesn't that highlight the fact that you have nothing knowledgeable, that you have nothing intelligent that you want to share with others? Why would you resort to sharing negative information? If there's so much positivity that you can share with the world, why would you go to that? So, the Mordechai writes, based on these Gemaras, the Mordechai writes a very important psak, halacha lemaisa, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Yerodea lahalacha. So the Mordechai says, if you know that somebody passed away, you happen to be present when there was a tragedy, Ein chova lehodia lekrovav, says the Mordechai, there is no reason to tell the family members that that person has passed away. Why would you share that information, says the Mordechai? Just because the person died, you happen to be there? Don't tell them. Even though it means they're not going to sit Shiva, even though it means they won't observe any Avelas, they won't say Kaddish, says the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Mordechai, no reason to tell them at all. However, says the Ramah, qualifies it a little bit, and he says, Noagim lehodia hascharim, says the Ramah, we have the practice that we at least tell the children, at least the male children. Why would we do that? Why would we share the information with them? So the Ramah says, because the children have the ability to say Kaddish over their parent. And therefore, says the Ramah, it would make sense, there's a toelus involved, it would make sense that we should share the information, although it's negative information. If the children are going to have the ability to say Kaddish, that is something we should go out of our way to do in order to be mezakeh the meis. So the Pischei Tshuva writes, what if you have a person who passes away on a Yom Tov or on a Shabbos, when there's nothing that we can do? They're not going to start saying Kaddish yet. We don't say Kaddish until the person is buried. They're not going to make funeral arrangements. It's Yom Tov. They're not going to call anyone, not going to write a hesped. There's nothing they can do. Says the Pischei Tshuva, we revert back to the original case, and that is, if there's no toelus at all, if there's nothing that can be done, it's just going to make the person sad and anxious, then he says there's no reason to share negative information in a case like that. So I saw that one of the children of Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes that their mother, Rabbi Avadi Yosef's wife, lost a brother of hers. And they wrote that their father, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, chose not to share the information with his wife. She was already not well. And he chose not to share the information with his wife for years, until it just so happened one time it came up. She was wondering, what's with my brother? And somebody shared the information, but he felt that was a proper decision to make, because he thought that there was a negative consequence in sharing the real information with his wife. He was afraid. Now, why she didn't talk to her brother for a number of years, I don't know exactly, but could be he wasn't well and she wasn't well and they didn't speak that often anyway, but that is the story that is told. I saw another story as well about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the story goes that his brother passed away, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe had an elderly mother, and he didn't want her to know. He thought it would negatively impact her health, and he said there was no real reason to send the information to her. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent letters for 13 years to his mother and signed off as his brother, even though his brother had died. He didn't want the mother to know. So for 13 years, he sent letters to his mother in the name of his brother in order that the mother should not have to deal with the anxiety of finding out that the brother had died. However, the Achronim say, if there is some sort of toelus, let's say today, if we're going to announce that somebody passed away, it's not just that we're gossiping. We're sharing the information in order that people should show up to the Levaya, that people should show respect and be Menachem Avel, whatever it might be. Say the Achronim very clearly, if there's a toelus in the fact that you're sharing the information, certainly we have every right and every obligation to share the information today, because it's clearly not being done just as a means of trying to make other people aggravated or make them anxious over the information that is being shared. And therefore, the Nishmas Avram writes in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman as well. Let's say you have doctors or nurses in a hospital, and they are present when some negative result comes back. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying it would make a lot of sense that they have a duty, they have an obligation to share that with the family in order that the family can take care of whatever has to be done. So if it means that they get a report back that somebody has an illness that we weren't aware of before, obviously they need to share that information because they have to go ahead and take steps to make sure to cure that person. Or if somebody passes away, they also need to share the information to make sure that the arrangements could be made. One final point, and that is the Shach writes in Yerodea, just last week when Rav Asher Weiss was here, I brought somebody to meet with him, a woman who was extremely distressed over the loss of a relative, and the reason why she was so upset obviously because she suffered a loss, but one of the things that was very much weighing on her mind was the fact that she lied to the patient throughout the time that this young patient was ill. She continuously lied to her. She didn't want to be honest with her about the prognosis, about how negative things were looking and how afraid she was of the deteriorating condition. And this woman felt so guilty over the fact that now she looks back in retrospect and says, how did I lie to the person? How was I not honest with them? How did I not share the information? And I was reminded at the time that we were having this discussion that the Shach writes in Yeridea that the same way we are not supposed to share negative information just for no real purpose, so too writes the Shach, there is no reason to tell a chola, lo legalos, he says, you should not share with the chola how devastating a news, a piece of information you heard about their condition. What's it going to do for them? It's just going to make them depressed. It's going to make them more upset. So we live in a society where the doctors always feel they have to be so straight up and honest with every patient. And maybe they do, I don't know. But as family members, certainly the Shach's instruction makes a lot of sense. If you're going to share the negative information with the person, you never know how that can affect the condition in a negative way as well, and it can make the condition even worse. And therefore, the Shach writes, we certainly should not share the information. We should not be honest with them. Rav Asher Weiss even said when his wife was sick, he lied to her as well, and she asked him many times, what's going on? Where are we up to? Where are we holding? How many treatments am I going to need? And he didn't tell her all the accurate information because there's no reason to. If it's just going to make a chola's spirits be more negative and more upset and more anxious, that is something that can certainly impact the overall condition of the chola, and that's something we need to be sensitive to as well. Reb Hanani.